Welcome to SwingersLifestyleTalkRadio.com. Each week we stimulate, we update, and educate you on every aspect of the swinging lifestyle. Hello, I'm Clark Ashton, your host, along with my beautiful, hot, sexy, and voluptuous wife and co-host, Cindy Ashton. Say hello, Cindy.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
All right, she's here. And guys, you know, her boobs are, they look the same in person as they do on the website. So just want to throw that out there. Actually, they look a little better tonight. Honey, you're looking awful beautiful tonight. Well, don't do that because I can't concentrate when I'm trying to do the show. Okay, so.
Sorry. Sorry, Clark.
She's a little ornery, and I have to keep her in tow here, have to keep her straight. Anyway, you're tuned to the number one swinger and lifestyle talk radio show worldwide, where we talk about it, real swingers with real answers. And so for the next hour, callers from around the world will discuss every aspect of the swinging lifestyle, including personal experiences, activities, relationships, boundaries, events, clubs, the do's and don'ts in the swinging lifestyle, sexual products, sexual fantasies, your health, and much, much more. Seems like I'm leaving something out here, Cindy. Oh, yeah, and sex between one or more people, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Now, we have a little warning, of course. We have a little warning here. This show contains sexually explicit language and subjects of an adult nature only. If you are under the age of 18, please turn this show off right now. As if your mother was standing right there behind you, shaking her finger at you, saying, son, daughter, you get off of that show. So there, you've been warned. We do not endorse anything for those under the age of 18, and we highly recommend that you leave this website immediately. We have spies secretly watching you. Okay? Now, this is a live broadcast where every type of swinging and sexual topic you can imagine is discussed. And the best part is that you, the listener out there, can anonymously call in with your questions and your comments on our toll-free lines anytime during the show. So I'm going to give you that number now, if you don't already have it, so get your pen out. But that number is 1-888-228-4494. That's 1-888-228-4494. And it's also on the website that you're at where you visited to get to this space. So, let's talk about it, baby. This show is for everyone, from new people who are just curious about the swinging lifestyle to the long-time, very experienced veteran couples, single women, single men, married people, the not married people, those that are dating. You might be gay, you might be lesbian, you might be bisexual, you might even be a transvestite, and everything in between. We are completely non-judgmental when it comes to our listeners. And we're very open-minded. Open-minded here on this show is the word. So you can say whatever the hell you want to say, pretty much. Now, there are hundreds of different levels within the so-called swinging lifestyle. And we'll talk about all of it. No question is off-limits. And yes, we can say the word fuck online. That's right, I said the word fuck. Can you believe that? Well, yes, because we're on the internet, we're able to do that. So, let her rip. Callers, don't forget, now's the time to call in. So, go ahead and call in. Now, Cindy, are you there?
I'm here, Clark. I'm here.
All right. Well, listen, this week's topic is communicating with your partner, part one. And this show is one of the shows that we decided to split up into many pieces because one part is not enough. There's a lot of information around communicating with your partner because in the swinging lifestyle, and most of you that have experience will verify that the communication between your partners is utmost important, not only between one another but also between you and other partners that you may be meeting for the first time or hanging around or even becoming friends with.
Absolutely.
So last week, our topic was introduction to the swinging lifestyle, and as a result, we had many different subjects that came up. They were discussed by the callers. Steve, for instance, asked how he could initiate a conversation with his wife about looking into the swinging lifestyle the first time. which spurred a whole bunch of other questions about how you would handle that. So this week we decided to talk about this communicating with your partner. Now, there's three pieces to communicating with your partner. We broke it down into three different segments. Number one, we want to talk about communicating before you actually have your first swing experience or before you meet people or a couple or a group. So there's the before section. And then number two, it's communicating during the swing experience. So maybe we're talking to each other during sex with others in the same room, etc. And then there's communicating afterwards, after you've actually maybe been with another couple or some other people or club or whatever. We want to be able to discuss things with our partner there. So we'd really like to hear your comments as we discuss this topic. So you can call us at the 800 number anytime. So, Cindy, what would you say really opens the door to being able to talk with one another about swinging? What do you think?
Well, Clark, I think, first of all, most people are not familiar with the swinging lifestyle have a huge preconception of the lifestyle. That's incorrect. I think that out there in the common world, they think swinging is a big sexual orgy where everyone just has wild, open sex, and it's just a free-for-all.
Sounds like a blast, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, if you don't know anything about it and you're not educated about it, that's what I thought it was prior to really learning, you know, what it was all about. Kind of like in the 1960s during the free love era, where you see those pictures at Woodstock, which they've just been running a lot of documentaries on that, by the way. And everybody's running around naked, kissing each other, and just out of control.
Yeah, kissing everybody,
hey,
huh?
Well,
that doesn't sound too bad.
That's pretty good.
It sounds kind of like fun to me.
It is fun.
Is there a problem with that?
No problem here.
Nope. Okay, just want to check. Make sure we're not doing anything wrong here. Okay.
We're good. You know, I think the swinging lifestyle today is nothing like that. So the first thing I'd like to say is that we're on a mission to help educate the public on what the swinging lifestyle really is. When I was first introduced to it, I couldn't believe how many people were involved. I mean, there's millions, millions and millions of people. The first party I went to, there are probably, I'd say, 300 people there? And most were really nice-looking couples. I was shocked.
300 people? You got to be kidding me.
300 people at least.
What was this? Was this like a? I mean, this wasn't obviously a house. Somebody a party at a house.
Actually, it was a Halloween party, and yeah,
hey.
That was kind of cool. So I got to put a mask on, and you know, I could hide because I think if I remember correctly, I think I was sweating a lot. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and I was a little nervous, and it was a lot of observation. Lot of observation, just talking to people, and I really found that it was not intimidating at all. As a matter of fact, everybody was open and nice and smiling, and there was no threat at all. Absolutely no threat. It was a little different. They had a few things going on there that I wasn't really interested in, but that's, you know, again, that's the lifestyle.
Well, it was your first time, right? I mean,
exactly.
Your first time, you don't know what to expect.
Exactly. I don't think I blinked once. I think my eyes just were like big and bugged out. And
well, I was there. I remember seeing you. And
was I hiding behind you?
No. You were out in the front, actually.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Cindy's a little shy for all you folks. And
yeah.
Know that she's.
I'm
shy.
The shy.
I have to bring her out of her box every once in a while because she gets a little timid and.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think after 20 minutes, I had you by the arm and we were running from room to room.
Something like that.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it was very comfortable atmosphere. So, you know, I think you kind of learn early on whether it's going to be something that you're into or it's something that makes you really feel uncomfortable.
So really, you really had to kind of adjust your preconceived ideas about what it really was, right?
I wouldn't even say.
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say 100%. I had to change about 1,000%. That's how far off I was.
Yeah. So, I mean, not to get into this too much because we've got to move on, but so the atmosphere at the first party the first time you went was what? Was it
professional? It was awesome.
weird? Was it a bunch of ugly fat people there?
No.
Not to say anything's wrong with fat people.
No.
But you know, there's a lot of this kind of thing where people have, you know, these preconceived ideas about, you know, the swingers.
Yeah.
Was it like you thought it was going to be, or what happened?
It was better. It was, I was scared to death. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know. I thought, you know, people were going to be overly aggressive and making me feel uncomfortable and cornering me. And, you know, I just had no idea. I'm like,
was there anybody, like, attacking you, like, when you came in? You know, like, you know, they come and attack you? Like,
just you, Clark, if I remember.
Well, besides me, because you were used to that.
Actually, no. A lot of friendly people that came up and just said hello and, you know, made sure we were comfortable. As a matter of fact, I think the people that were actually hosting the party, I don't know if I look like a newbie, you know, but I found that the first requirement to even consider, when even beginning to talk about swinging in any form, is that the couple has to be hugely super close, I think, in their own relationship. And that their sex life has to be really, really satisfying and off the charts together with absolutely no hang-ups. A couple is not looking for sex or other people to replace what they have with each other, because if you are, folks, it's not for you. If you're looking to replace or fix something that's broken, this isn't going to be.
So wait a minute. What we're saying, or what you're saying, is that in the swinging lifestyle, in order to really what it's really about, it's not that people are running out there trying to find other people to hook up with because they're unhappy in their sex life.
Hell no. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Fuck no. They ain't doing it. Okay, I got you.
You couldn't be any further off base on that.
So really, what you're saying, and I agree with you, is that people have to be really, really secure. They have to be happy and in love, and they're really not looking for someone to replace someone. This is huge, right?
Yes, huge. Very huge.
It's interesting because on a talk show not too long ago, I remember watching a couple on there, and they were talking. It was about sex, but there was swinging involved. They brought out a couple couples, and they were asking them how they could do it. They even brought a sex therapist on, and they brought a marriage counselor on.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage counselor said, "Oh, you know, this will never work. How could you do this?" Meanwhile, you know, we all know that there's 8 to 10 million swingers in the United States estimated, and over 100 million worldwide estimated. But anyway, she said it couldn't work because, you know, the element of marriage, you know, just can't work out that way. Meanwhile, this couple's laughing and hugging, and they said, "We've been doing this for 15 years, and we're very happy, and we make it work," and so on.
Well, you know what that tells me? The therapist needs therapy. I mean,
really?
That. I mean, you know, maybe she's in a relationship that doesn't work, or she doesn't trust, or, you know, could never go to that place. And I guess it's not for everybody. We will say that. And some people do come out and try it, and it's just not for them. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're already safe and satisfied and feel great about what you got going on, this is just added fun. And you don't have to do anything. Sometimes it's just the energy of being around the people.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different levels to it that, you know, it could be just going out and having a cocktail and flirting around, which gets you excited, and then you go home and have fun. I mean.
So, yeah, and we're going to talk about it in a future show about all the different levels that swinging takes.
Right.
Because it's from A to Z.
Yeah.
There's so many different pieces to it. But back on the communication piece of things.
Mm-hmm.
So before we actually have a swinging experience, the couple really has to be, or the partner has to be, they have to be really connected and open, and they have to really be into themselves first.
Yes.
And from there, that's the key element to making the lifestyle really work for one another.
Right.
Because, you know, the first thing I understand about that is it brings out a lot of freedom in the relationship when you're like that. For instance, I know that when we go somewhere or people in the lifestyle that are close, when you're so close, you know who you're going home with.
Right.
In other words, you're not really going out there to find somebody to replace you.
No.
And, you know, that's where love and sex splits up. And,
exactly.
In fact, we have a show on that.
Yeah.
We have a show about love versus sex, the difference, the so on. We're going to go into that some other time. So anyway, so really what we're saying here is that swinging is more about what I would call extracurricular activity. Everybody knows what extracurricular activity is. We could even call it maybe recreational sex.
Right.
And that sounds kind of weird, maybe, to a lot of people. You know, what the hell is recreational sex? I mean, holy shit. You know, does that mean, you know, we just go around having sex with anybody anytime we get a chance?
Hell no, it's exciting.
Yeah. So maybe it takes on a little different connotation. Maybe it takes on a little bit more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So Cindy, let's talk about the communication that takes place way before you actually decide to go meet other people for the first time. Because really, it all has to start somewhere, right?
Right.
I mean, somewhere along the line, if you're married, or if you're in a long-term committed relationship, or even if you're a single person sometimes, because a lot of times single people have to bring somebody with them to go to a club, etc. As a guy in the equation, me, it's obviously different than a woman's perspective, right? We all know that. So in probably 9 out of 10 circumstances, the guy has researched swinging first. Usually it's a guy, you know, who's on the internet, he's talked to friends, maybe he's been looking at magazines or movies or whatever. Hell, maybe he even watches the TV show Swingtown a little bit. And he has the huge task of talking about it with his wife or his partner for the first time, right?
Right.
So Cindy, when I approached you the first time about it, I found out that it really takes some balls for the guys to bring it up for the first time. I mean, it really does, because, you know, you're treading in uncharted waters. I mean, you know, you may be really shooting yourself in the foot if you're not careful. So I found that if the guy picks the right time, in other words, with the woman, the girl's in a good mood, she's in a horny mood maybe, usually it's really good after you've had some really good sex, right?
Which is all the time, but yeah, go ahead.
So maybe you say something, maybe this is an icebreaker for the guys out there, guys. Maybe you say something like this to your woman. You say, well, have you ever thought about being with another woman or maybe with a couple together, maybe in the same room, just maybe watching them have sex while we maybe have sex? You ever thought about doing that? You know, just an icebreaker question, perhaps. And, you know, you folks out there, I mean, maybe you could just, it's a good question.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So we've got to find something that opens that door. Because in over 6 out of 10 cases, the woman has been with another woman in some sexual capacity in the past, of some kind, either somewhere along the line as a young girl, high school, college. It's just one of those things in the world. There's been more women than there are, you know, men with men. So that kind of opens the door. So once that door is open a little bit, Cindy, from a woman's standpoint, let me ask you this. What did I do right or wrong in the beginning as far as communicating with you that clearly helped educate you or help you see clearly the choice maybe that you had to look at? I'll be a guinea pig. I don't know.
Well, no, that's okay, Clark. And I'll tell you, even though it's been a lot of years, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember that there was no pressure. You asked good questions without, you know, leading. It was just, you know, that the relationship didn't hinge on this or, you know, take it or leave it. You could take it or leave it. Ever thought about being with another woman? I was like, yeah, you know. Lost me. Why? Well, is he going to call us back? Cindy, he's saying I'm live. Okay, sorry about that. He says I'm live, so here we go. Sorry about that, guys and gals. Okay, let me see. Let me get my thought back to where I was. You know, we actually, you're on, Clark. We like to watch porn together, so that was kind of cool. Went to a Halloween party with our masks on, and you know, I think it was a lot of conversation, if I remember, Clark, like first early on, and I remember you just saying, well, maybe we'll talk about it like in a fantasy, you know, instead of making it like real life. And I remember going on vacation, we went on a cruise, and we talked about it some more. We were laying on the beach, and we were just laughing, and I remember the first time you asked me if I liked women, I was like, no, no way, you know. And he's like, well, you know, had you really, really ever thought about it? And I said, you know, I really haven't. I really, you know, I always thought women were extremely sexy, but never thought that it would be something for me. So I think the main thing for us was we talked about it for a long time. We communicated, you know.
So did you, you didn't like girls in the beginning, you thought, right?
I thought not.
Yeah. So
I thought wrong.
Well, I remember that very clearly.
Yeah.
You know, there for a while, you,
Are you going to tell that funny story, honey?
Yeah.
This is pretty funny.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of came about, once I started talking about it, you know, what opened the door was actually a little video on my laptop one night. It was by accident. And Cindy, you know, she started watching the girls a little bit, which is kind of wild. And I said, well, you know, does that do anything for you? She said, well, actually, you know, that it's kind of hot, you know. And I was like,
you know?
So after a while, you know, we really.
That's really what he did, guys.
Found out that Cindy really did like girls. And that was a huge wake up call for me and a really good thing. So. He kind of opened the door, and we went from there. So, because you can't have one person going in one direction and the other person to go
right.
In the other. So we kind of took it step by step along the way. So Cindy, we also learned that we actually, within our communication back and forth, that there's another part of the communication that is actually talking to the partners. When you're with them, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But during our discussions, and we just use that as an example, what were your initial concerns? You know, after we opened that door and we said, you know, this is something we might like to try, what was your first concerns as a woman? And then I'll kind of tell you my concerns as a man.
I think my thought went off in a lot of different directions. Like, of course I had fear, but I was excited about it at the same time. I think, boundaries were my concern. I think I worried that you were gonna, you know, maybe like somebody better than me and take off. And, I mean, just across the board, lots of different things came into my mind, but at the same time, I was excited about it and I really wanted to give it a try, but I just wanted to make sure that you and I talked about it every step of the way. And the cool thing is that you're a good communicator. Well, and so am I. I mean, I'm not afraid to ask questions and I always bring things up and you always let me, which is really cool. It's never, you know, never turns into an argument. It's listening, I think, on both our parts. I listen to you, you listen to me, we respect that. We respect each other, and it's okay to feel what you feel, and it's okay to be able to say it to your partner, because if you can't, then I don't think you have any business doing it. You have to be able to be wide open.
Yeah. Well, that's the name of the game, and, of course, you know, every situation is different, but we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take a station break here in just a minute, so don't go away. We're going to talk about some ideas on what to talk about a little bit, some of the questions to ask. How to communicate during the swinging experience, and also communicating after the swinging experience. So stay tuned. Hang on to your hats. We'll be right back.
1971, U.S. President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit apricotshop.co.uk, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Hi, this is Marco May, and you're listening to my song, Arabica, from my album, River of Soul. I would like to invite you to my website at marcome.com. You are now listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet. Enjoy!
Hi, this is independent producer-composer Nelson Ortez. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? To get a fresh new sound? BBS Radio is where it's at. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Interested in total immunity from disease? Then MaxwellGreenSight.com is what you seek. As a spiritual being, you will not live your life in fear of disease, virus, or flu of any kind. The site was developed as a one-stop shop for self-healing and empowerment. It includes material from some of the greatest yogic masters, such as Ramana Maharshi, Yogananda, Satchidananda, and extraterrestrial knowledge from Bashar, Elon, the Pleiadian Emissaries of Light, the Arcturians, and Mother Mary's College of Christ Consciousness. This is the site where we do the mental work to find out why a certain condition exists, connect with our higher selves, prepare the body to work optimally, claim our personal sovereignty and power, and cure disease with vibration, belief, love, appreciation, gratitude, natural remedies, the newest discoveries and technologies, and the amazing power of the body to heal itself. Remember, your power ends where your fear begins. Put a positive spin on your outer circumstance and go to healing the known and unknown at MaxwellGreenSight.com.
Well, hello, everyone. We're back here at SwingersLifestyleTalkRadio.com. I'm Clark Ashton with my co-host, my lovely Cindy Ashton here. You're tuned in to the number one swinger and lifestyle talk radio show worldwide, where we talk about it, real swingers with a real answer. Anyway, we're on the subject of communicating with your partner tonight. I want to encourage you to give us a call, discuss with us anything that's on your mind. Ask us any questions. The number is 1-888-228-4494. That's 1-888-228-4494. So give us a call. It's toll free. We'd like to hear from you. So, Cindy, we've been talking about communication, and this is part one of our communication program. We'll have part two next week. So continuing on, in rare cases where the woman is introducing swinging to the man, we talked about the man a little bit, a couple suggestions about what he could say, how he could, you know, pull the trigger, bring up the subject, and so on. What would the woman say, perhaps, to a man, to the partner about it? Maybe, you know, she wants to break the news to him, ask him, kind of feeling him out. What do you think there?
Well, Clark, that's silly. That's probably about the easiest question. She might just say, honey, I think we should have sex with other people. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But it is almost as simple as that. I think the guys are more, would be more up to it, or, you know, easier to talk to them about it than, you know, than the guy having to bring it up to the woman. Basically, I think the woman, all she has to say is, honey, I love you very much, and I heard about this swinging lifestyle, and I think we ought to check it out. What do you think? You know, are you game? And
so you're saying, well, pretty much the guy's pretty much ready to go, right? I mean, it's so much different than women, right?
Well, right now he's probably doing cartwheels across the room, but
yeah. I mean, if the chick, the woman comes over to the guy and says, "Hey, honey, you know, what do you think about swinging?" You know, the guy's gonna go, "Well, let me see. I'm gonna give you like." No, he's gonna be going, "Hey, you know, he's gonna jump right on it, right?"
Well, he's going to ask for clarification. He's going to say, honey, do you mean at the park on a swing set? Do you mean on the golf course? Because he's not going to get it. He thinks he's getting trapped.
There's got to be a catch somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, seriously, I think guys are up for it. But still, there's many security and intimacy issues to consider. A lot of guys, they're funny about it, too. You know, they don't want other guys hitting on their women. And, you know, so I think again, it goes back to that relationship has to be there, even vice versa, and the communication. I mean, you say communication part one, part two. This is communication for life. And I don't think it's only just about swinging. I think it's about, you know, day-to-day life and being in a long, loving relationship. Communication is key.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the time when we talk about these communication problems, most people think it's mainly with the woman, right?
Right.
I mean, most of the time, people think, you know, women's emotions, and they have all these, you know, considerations and so on. But really, I'll just tell you from a guy's standpoint, you know, men will not usually admit it, but there are security issues involved with men as well. For instance, you know, if you're a guy with a hot-looking chick, and you're happy, and, you know, you haven't ever, you know, had this experience before. All of a sudden, you know, the guy's thinking, well, you know, I got this hot-looking chick. I'm going to get out there. What if this chick starts liking somebody better? I mean, what if she, you know, really, you know, gets with somebody else, and I'm maybe watching her with somebody, and what happens if she decides to like them better than she likes me? So, and I'll be honest with you, it's not just with men. Perhaps maybe the woman might like a woman better
right.
than a man. I mean, that happens, right? So, so from a man's standpoint, there is this security issue that comes up. And so it's not just the woman. So for all you women out there, when you're talking with your man, realize that, you know, the whole thing is not all about you either. It's not all about the woman. It's really about both. They're probably the biggest difference in most cases, I think, as a man, is that men tend to hold it in more. Men tend to bury the communication piece of it, their feelings about it, where women typically, not always, but typically, will take those out, throw them on the table, hit you over the head with them, you know, and make sure that you understand.
Okay, for everybody out there, Clark is talking about Cindy right now.
No.
But it's true. Don't I do that, honey? I mean, I'm not, you know, I may mull something over for a day or two just to make sure that, you know, what I'm feeling is not the emotion of the day. But I love to bring stuff up like that, and I think it brings us closer. I mean, we have some great, deep conversations about it.
Well, you really have to in the beginning. So we've talked about the beginning a little bit. We've talked about, you know, the very early stages of communication. And, you know, this communication, I know some couples that really in the beginning were just didn't talk about it at all. They said, well, let's just go see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at some point in the process, you're going to end up having some long discussions about feelings and thoughts and so on. But in the beginning, it's our recommendation, right, Cindy, that, you know, you really talk about things, because there's some other things that come up. Let's touch on a couple other things here. For instance, you've got to get down to specifics. You can't talk in general.
Right. Very important.
For instance, and we'll be real blunt and to the point here, kind of like, you know, when you and I were involved in the very beginning, we said, well, you know, are we going to have intercourse with other people? You know, and if we are actually full-blown intercourse, if we're going to do that, you know, how are we going to feel about it? Are you going to be able to watch me with somebody? Am I going to be able to watch you with somebody?
Right.
If we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And what about protection? How are we going to do protection? Are we going to wear condoms? Are we not going to wear condoms? What are we going to do? And how about oral sex? What are we going to do with that? Are we going to do that all the way? Are there certain things that you're not comfortable with? Mm-hmm. Are there things that you don't want to see me do? Are there things that I want to see or don't want to see you do, for instance? Or kissing. Believe it or not, there's a large population of people out there that do not want to kiss someone else. You remember that movie with Julia Roberts? Remember what the name was?
Tip.
She was in a red dress.
Yeah,
she was a hooker.
Pretty Woman.
All right. Well, Pretty Woman, remember she would not kiss Richard Gere.
Yes. In the bathtub, I remember.
And you remember he was like, what the hell, I'm paying you like fucking $1,500 an hour or some crazy ridiculous amount of money, and you'll fuck me, what you won't kiss me. Well, the whole point was that, like she said, it's too intimate.
Yeah.
It connects them too closely. So there are issues where perhaps maybe a couple would say, you know what, we might not kiss in the beginning. Sounds kind of weird. You know, here we're gonna maybe have oral sex, but we're not gonna kiss.
Yeah. It's a boundary. And I think early on, like with us, I wasn't comfortable with the intercourse. We started out very, very slow. And I think every couple is different. So I'm gonna only go by what we did. And then we talked about it. And then our feelings, we gained that whole trust issue. Even though we talked about it, you know, walk the walk now. And so we kind of went slow, and, you know, I think the way we entered into the lifestyle was great. It worked for me. You know, some people might be able to jump in with 2 feet and go for it, and
you think we started slow?
Well, for the first 2 weeks.
For about the first 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sometimes when you get started, you have plans, but the plans go awry a little bit, and that's why you really got to have some clear communication in the beginning. So maybe you talk about what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, and you have to be very honest and very candid, because trust me, folks, and many of you know, that if you're not very candid and on the table, it will work itself out during the process, and it usually doesn't work itself out in a very positive way.
Exactly.
Because if you're wanting to do or think something different than you actually are wanting to do or do, it's going to turn out in a bad situation.
Right.
Yeah. So those are some issues, and, you know, in the beginning, it takes on a lot of different faces. For instance, when you meet with people, let's say it's at a club, or if you decide to meet with people out to dinner, or maybe you go to a house party, or you just decide to have people over, maybe. There's a lot of different options. Or maybe you go to a vanilla club. We call it vanilla, and by the way, some night we're going to have the swinging lingo night. We're going to talk about all the different buzzwords that are part of the swinging lifestyle, and there is a language there. You know, sometimes there is really a communication factor that has to do with what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, where you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. For instance, when you talk about having sex in the same room, for instance, or perhaps not in the same room. So, Cindy, what did we decide the first time? Did we, as far as the same room, not same room thing, did we go? I'm trying to remember. Did we go
same room? Same room.
Yeah, and most people do the
I'll
same.
I'll tell you, I still like the same room because, well, for me, I like to watch you. So that excites me.
Really?
It does. I mean, you know, I remember the one time that we did do opposite rooms, I was kind of crawling to peek around the door to just see what was going on. I was, you know, that wasn't a jealousy issue. It was a, I want to see what's going on. Sometimes I'll just kind of lean up on my elbow and just kind of watch it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I like it when you do that, actually. It's kind of fun, yeah.
Very sexy.
So the whole idea of the same room is a big deal. Because some people don't feel comfortable going.
Well, that's exactly right, Clark. I mean, there are some people that, you know, they can't do it in front of their partner. And, I mean, that's all well and fine, but I'm very comfortable with it. It excites me. So, I mean, I have a much deeper orgasm when I'm watching you.
Well, that's always good news. Always good news.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so let's talk about for a minute. We're going to take a break in just a second, but first I want to talk about this one last issue about communicating before you go see somebody. Is there anything that's off limits, would you say, when you're talking to one another for the first time before you actually go into a swinging experience? I mean, this could apply for people that have been swinging for years even, because, you know, sometimes people have secret things that they really want to do that they never get to do because they're afraid to talk about
it. Well, you need to talk about that together before. Yeah, I mean, don't let it be a surprise without a doubt. Don't let it be a surprise. I mean, when you're this open-minded and you're having this much fun, you know, and, you know, for me, if there was something you'd want to try, you know, unless it was, like, something really wacko, you know, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's a fantasy. That's part of being who you are and, you know.
Well, let's take a break. We're going to take a break for just a couple of minutes here, and we'll be back. And what we're going to talk about when we come back is communication during the swinging experience. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Planet. Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose each Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the BBS Radio Network. Come where the results are always positive. Explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You'll be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch. X Squared Radio.
Vitaly, the new name in electronic music, presents his new album, Looking at the Stars. Check it out at www.vitalymusic.com and here at BBS Radio, your first choice for unconventional and original music.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to SwingersLifestyleTalkRadio.com, where each week we stimulate, update, and educate you on every aspect of the swinging lifestyle. So we're talking about communicating with your partner. Now, we've been talking here on the show about communicating before you actually have an experience. Now, let's talk a little bit about communicating during the swinging experience. And you know, these are long subjects that we could talk about for a long, long time, but let's talk about that just a little bit. I think, you know, once you actually engage in the whole experience, you know, things take on a little different flavor. For instance, when you first meet someone, let's just say, we're going to take one of the scenarios that you could go into. Let's say that you have talked back and forth with a couple either online or on the telephone, and you've decided to meet at a restaurant, for instance, just to get to know one another, have a few drinks, maybe have dinner. So you're going to meet at a restaurant, and you've never met these folks before. They're new people. Maybe you've seen pictures on the internet or whatever, or maybe you've seen them around, but most of the time, let's just say that you don't know them. So you go to the restaurant and you meet them for drinks. Cindy, what goes through your mind at this point? I mean, for instance, you go in the restaurant and how are you going to know whether I like that couple or you know, in other words, there's a communication piece to this where you don't know how each other's going to react to the people.
Right.
So what happens? What do you do?
Oh, you have a sign. you know, either you order dessert or you don't.
A thumbs up or a thumbs down? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I remember us one time. We said that if we didn't order dessert, it was good to go. But if we ordered dessert, it was time to go. Or was that vice versa?
Yeah, you mean that before we had that one little sign where you would beat me on the leg, so I could walk.
Yeah, that pinch
underneath the table. You were like, you know, kicking me under my shin, like. And I didn't know whether that was like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You know, I just knew my leg hurt like hell, you know, because so.
That meant take me home, honey. Alone.
Yeah, alone. Yeah. Well, or we'll take the girl with us and leave the guy, or we'll take the guy with us and we'll leave the girl. So, again, you know, it makes sense to have some communication there in your first meeting. Because a lot of times, you know, you may have, you may like one or the other, and the other.
And we've had that. We went to a club one night, and I was really okay with the guy, and the girl did not work for you in any way, shape, or form. And we talked about it, and you know, the guy, of course, was raring to go, and he liked both of us. And you said, "Babe, I just can't go there." And I said, "Well, then I'm going to go in the back and have a cocktail, and you can let him down gently, honey." And you did.
Yeah, it's always up to the guy.
Sorry.
Right? Well, you know, the funny part about it is that we always have to take our partner's thoughts into consideration.
Absolutely. Huge.
You know, if you're with Pam Anderson, for instance, and we're gonna take, and I'm just using her as an example, you got some hot chick that you're really wanting to hook up with, but the guy in the equation isn't fitting the bill, for instance. So what do you do? Does somebody take one for the team? Right?
We've learned that doesn't work. No, I don't think you should ever have to take one for the team. It's not that important. A lot of fish in the sea. There's compatibility four ways, and that's what needs to happen. Very, very important. I think you need to respect everybody's feelings. And it could be that the other couple, one of them is not interested in me, you know, and, you know, you just let them down as gently as possible. And you're always real good about that, Clark. I mean, you're very politically correct, which I think is very cool. You never call it out. You just kind of say it's not working.
Oh, right.
It's not going to work. Yeah.
Make your money? No.
Yeah.
No, but that piece of it is, you know, after over time is, you know, we found that even if you end up being with a couple that you're really not quite happy with, 9 times out of 10, it's not worth it. So you end up really kind of wasting your time, and you should have gone and done something else.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with me early on. I was afraid to disappoint you, even though we were communicating, and we always did. We always, always did communicate. But in the back of my head, if I saw that you were really into the girl, I didn't want to disappoint you. Like, I wanted to make sure that you knew I was okay with everything, but I just wasn't okay with this couple, and I really didn't know how to go about that. And again, you helped me because you saw, you know, my energy level kind of go down, and, you know, we went through the motions and we did it, and when we got done and we were heading home and you said, you know, honey, I really felt your energy on this one. Why didn't you say anything? And I said, well, because I didn't want to disappoint you. And you kind of said, well, you're disappointing me now because, you know, we really shouldn't have been there if that's really how you were feeling. So, you know, it's definitely a work in progress when you're first starting and you're communicating. And even as you're communicating, you want to, you know, you love your partner so much, you want to make sure that they're happy. But you can't give up on yourself either. So we've learned that. And it works great for us. You know, say what you feel. Say what you feel, you know. I mean, we can have just as much fun at home, if not more, you know. Sometimes you'll be really into these people and somebody's really, really hot and, you know, you get going and the sex sucks. I mean, so you can't always just go on those looks. It's kind of like a feeling you get, like your energy clicks or, you know, your personalities or, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pieces to it that I think is a learning process. And the communication is key.
So in the beginning, the communication there when you're with another couple, or even it could be even in a group situation. It doesn't have to be just with another couple.
Absolutely.
You could be at a club or with a group of 6 or 8 or 10 people, believe it or not. And you've talked about your boundaries, what you would do, what you wouldn't do,
right,
what you expect, what you don't do. Sometimes people don't respect those boundaries.
Right.
So let's say that you're with another couple, and you're with the guy, and the guy's with the girl, and you're together in the same room or the same couch or wherever you're at, and all of a sudden you see that your partner, for instance, you notice that your partner is not having that much fun. You know there's some friction, there's some things going on there,
right,
that you can feel and see that isn't quite up to snuff, while you may be having a blast and life is great.
Right.
So what do you do? Do you sit there and just do nothing? Or do you worry about yourself? Do you break in and help your partner? Do you rescue them? I mean, what do you, because this is part of the equation, right? So what do you do?
Well, I think all of the above, you know, whatever you're feeling. I know that if I look over and you're not having fun, and this happened to us maybe not that long ago, and, you know, I didn't abruptly because I don't want to hurt the person I'm with, but didn't finish up either because it's not that important.
I was like with three girls or something. I was like three chicks. I had I had them all over the place. You know, so.
I know you were bouncing around. I didn't know if you were unhappy or you were just in another room.
I didn't think I was, you know, not having a good time. I mean, holy shit.
No, I could read you loud and clear, honey. I could read you loud and clear. And you know, I got up and excused myself and thanked the young man, and you know, we got dressed and we went home. We thanked everybody and said, you know, we'll see you guys around. Have a great time. And off we went. I mean, I think that's the important piece, is that you do not have to do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you agree that within the swinging lifestyle as a whole, there is really a lot of respect between everybody?
Huge.
I mean, yeah, and
huge.
Most people really wouldn't think that, you know?
Yep.
But it's like a family. Really and truly, it's like a family of respect.
I'll tell you, 99% of the people we have been with are so respectful to the point where even during they're asking, are you okay? Is this okay? And not to the point of where they're breaking momentum. It's very sweet, you know, because they're married couples or they're committed. You know, they know how their partner feels, and we've been with couples that communicate as well as we do, and it works. You know, but then we've been in a situation where, you know, you read me, but I got up and went to the ladies' room, and I was probably gone for a little bit. Just, you never know. Was it an emotional thing? Was it the guy? I really, today, to this day, probably couldn't tell you what triggered me, but I was just not having fun. And I looked over, and you were having a blast.
You had to bend over that couch. You know, he was banging you from the back, like, just driving you through the wall. I was like, holy shit.
No, that was the other guy. That was the one I liked.
Oh, that was the guy. Oh, okay. That was the other one. Okay. I thought you were talking about, yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah, this one, I just, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I went and I just broke down in the bathroom. I was just crying. And I know you felt me. And I came out and I was just sitting in the chair. And you're like, honey, you ready to go? And I said, no, finish up. Like, it really wasn't even about that. I just, it wasn't anything he said or did. You know?
Yeah.
Just... Which never usually happens.
It wasn't like the three or four chicks that were on me. I mean, it wasn't that.
No, man, there was no way. You could barely see me, but you knew something was going on. No, babe, finish up. We're good. We're good. I'm just taking a breather.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, no, that was a long time. That was in the early days. And, you know, in the early days, and really we're talking to people who are really, like, in the early days, because the early days is like a time when you, you know, are trying to figure it all out. So, well, anyway, we want to kind of wrap up this whole segment, because next week we're going to talk about communication program 2. We're going to go into a little more. We're going to talk about communicating after the swinging experience. But I did want to throw this in real quick. We have our joke of the week, and we want to stick this in here real quick because I know you'll appreciate it. 25 ways to know you're a swinger. We're going to go to number 2 on the list. It says, one of the ways that you know you're a swinger is every bottle of liquor in your house has a big sticker with your membership number or couple name on it. That's how you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and you close your email to your sister with bye, which is B-I-B-I, and so on. So, anyway, we want to remind you that, let me see here. I have to get my stuff straight. You can blog us at Swingers Lifestyle. talkradio.blogspot.com. You can Twitter us at twitter.com/swingersradio. You can be added to our mailing list. So email your friends about us. Let us know that we exist. And we invite you to tune in next week at the same time, Thursday evening from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the topic will be Communicating with Your Partner, Part 2. We will have some guest hosts on the show soon. So stay tuned, mark it on your calendar, and remember our website is swingerslifestyletalkradio.com. Tell everybody you know about our show. Spread the word. It's going to get nasty in the future. Laugh, love, learn, and live, my friends. And happy hunting. Talk to me, baby. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.